Welcome to Lift and Love Conversations, where we're building a supportive culture around LGBTQ families in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Allison Dayton, and I'll show you how to embrace your child and your spiritual discomfort to deepen and grow your testimony of Jesus Christ.
And I am Jenny Hunter, and I will help you identify and overcome obstacles that can get in the way of sustaining healthy relationships. And I help you realize the blessings of being an LGBTQ family. Each week, we will bring you lessons that we've learned from our own lives, the experiences from hundreds of families that we have worked with, and conversations with amazing experts. Hello, welcome to our podcast today.
Hi, everybody. We're so excited to be here. We're getting ready for Christmas. That's when we're recording.
Yes, which you have been getting snow already in Salt Lake, it looks like.
We have snow. We had snow. It's gone, but it's cold.
See, it's time for everybody to come visit me in Florida because these are good days, right?
Exactly.
75 and cool. It's perfect. But we're so excited. And we're so excited with everything happening in Lift and Love. I still am blown away, Allison. We started with our mama support group and now we're up to 13 support groups.
We went from 8 to 13 in this last year. And we had a meeting with everybody the other day, and it was so fun to see all the faces of everybody that's working. And a couple of them have, you know, a couple of the groups like ours have two people that are sort of leaders, and a couple just have one.
You know what I loved is I remember in the beginning when we were just getting everything going and we're like, okay, we need to do this. Okay, well, let's pray about it. For somebody will come, right? Like what the talent the Lord has provided to volunteer and to make this community. And, you know, I ran into somebody who loves Lift and Love, and she's like, it really saved me when my child came out. And she goes, you realize my daughter doesn't go to church at all, but she follows everything on Lift and Love. So that made me, and this is not the first time I've heard this. And I have clients who are out of the church who follow everything on Lift and Love. Like it has become their touch point to Christ a little bit. And it just makes me so happy seeing the tent just getting bigger and as having more support groups to, if you want to ally, if you want to be a dad, if you want to be the mom, wherever you are lying in this community, we got a support group for you.
Right. And there's magic that happens in those support groups because while they have leaders and people that are kind of guiding, the magic really happens when you know you're not alone. And there are other people that are dealing with this and that they are doing their best, and you get great ideas from them and they get great ideas from you, and the Spirit teaches everybody and they're great. So if you need support, get on liftandlove.org.
Yeah.
Our website's going to soon change in January. It'll be a little different, but now if you go, there will be a button that says support, a square, just click on support and it'll give you all the different options. So just try one out and see how it feels.
And
you're great.
You have the opportunity, like this mom was telling me that she goes, you realize like, cause we, in our mama support group, we do breakout rooms. And so you at some point are with like 5 or 6 other women in a small group. And she goes, that first support group I was on, we became a Marco Polo group. We now travel. We connect, like it has become our lifelong, like you have the opportunity to make friends. That is how amazing technology is. Like, I think that is why we have technology. Before COVID, nobody knew what Zoom was. And, you know, I'd have clients who would be like, what do I do? You mean you Zoom? And now everybody knows how to do Zoom. It's just, there was some good things out of COVID where we're not afraid of making authentic connections across the United States through, and this support group is
in the world. We've had people from all over the world on these groups. Yeah.
Yes. It's a miracle. And it's a miracle that I think the Lord's given us to feel more connected and to find people and help you grow your faith. Like, cause that's what happens in these support groups. You feel connected and you grow your faith. Every single mama support group I've left, both those things are true.
Yeah. For me, they happen for me.
Yep. Me too.
And we get lots of great reports. So try out a support group. We've got a new dad's coming on in January. The ally's going to kick back in on January. We've got moms of LGBTQ children, parents of gender non-binary, gender expansive children. We've got support groups for all LGBTQ individuals. So get on there and look.
Yep. Okay. But that is not what we're talking about today, even though I guess support could be part of it. Like, okay, we're going to be really authentic and vulnerable here. This is the third podcast. And what I'm saying, we sent the podcast to the editor, it came back, and we both listened to it and said, no, like we have spent a lot of money on this podcast getting it right.
And it's because it's heavy.
It's heavy.
This is heavy. And Jenny and I, we have, and rather, because we've recorded before and thought, that's dumb. Let's not use that.
Right.
Did not work. But this time we know that the message, and the message is raising a healthy gay child today.
In the church, right? Like, church,
right.
Yeah.
So that's our message. And you would think, well, no, that's easy. That's so easy. It isn't if you have a gay child or a trans child.
And it isn't when we value marriage so much and we value relationship and we put so much emphasis on family in our church, mm-hmm. because that's where the big question kind of comes up for all parents. Like, do I support my child in seeking relationships?
Yeah. So one of the reasons that we, well, and the impetus to this, I guess, is that I think probably you all know Charlie Bird got married. Charlie and Ryan are married, and they've been married since August. And then Ben Chilati, not too long ago, for those of you who know Ben, used to work at BYU and is almost rounding 40 here. And he felt inspired to start dating. And because he had been kind of the Mormon poster boy for not dating, he right. was honest about it. He felt like he needed to be honest. So he was. So that, and we've talked about this, Jenny, there, Tom Christofferson, David Archuleta, Charlie, Ben, those were the people that we looked to for like, oh, well, they are not dating.
Right. And this is what my child's life might look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There aren't any poster people. No. An interesting thing has happened. And I would say it started happening about 4 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. Jenny, you'll have to tell
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, people would post, they would come out on Instagram and they'd say, I'm gay. I'm going to marry someone of the same sex. And I'm going to stay active in the church.
Mm-hmm. Which and those three things have not been patterned really at all for these kids.
Really at all. Right?
They're pioneers in this.
Yeah. And when I heard that, I was so impressed. Sadly, I just ran into a family of one of the guys that had said that, and he's no longer active in the church and is feeling hurt. But I think that this patterning of like, I'm going to stay. If I can stay, if the church will let me stay, I'm going to stay. I want to stay active. I want to be in this church. And, you know, that's one of the interesting findings from Gather is how many people wanted to be in this church as queer people and families of queer people. Because I think throughout the last generations, we thought, well, they wouldn't want to be here. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. So we've got this new generation and we don't have people saying, look, I'm going to not date. We do have people saying, I'm going to date and I hope to be married or I am married and I hope to stay active in the church. I hope I will be able to.
Yeah. And is there a place for that? Right. Like, and we're in this experimental. I mean, Charlie and his husband are still active and going. And I know that he has many friends who would like to come back and literally I had a gay man and his husband in my home for our LGBT group. And he's like, I would come to church if I felt like I could.
Mm-hmm.
And is that not heartbreaking, right? That anybody yes. would think that they can't come with us because of who
well,
they're married to?
We hear stories of people who are married in same-sex marriages who want to be at church. We hear like this and don't feel like they can because they feel like they'll be excommunicated. So we have this new, but we have this new generation that doesn't see things the way the old generation did. Like
I agree.
That you should stay celibate or not date or not get married, or that you should engage in a mixed orientation marriage. And I just asked Jenny this question before. When's the last time you heard a mom say, that's what I want for my kid?
No. And in fact, I have so many clients who are or were in mixed orientation marriages and in the divorce, right? Like that that works for some, but it works for, it's a rarity that it works.
It does. And some people, if that works and that's what you feel inspired to do, that's really important to follow mm-hmm. that inspiration.
For sure.
It's critical because that's what you've been asked by the Lord to do. I haven't heard that in 5 years, maybe.
No, and I think we've seen enough evidence where that is challenging.
Yeah, to say the least. I think we've identified three generations. The first generations of the 60s, 70s, 80s, where the people were just kind of pushed out, gay people were pushed out of our families and church. And the second generation is kind of where we are. And that's this people where people are have tried to kind of work this. Their negotiation was celibacy or mixed orientation marriage. But we're seeing another generation form here.
Mm-hmm,
and they are, not only are they not interested in that, but they don't even consider it, those options.
And they're considering new options that we haven't considered.
Right? Like coming and being active.
Yeah.
Yes, it's problematic because depending on their bishop, they may be excommunicated.
Right.
But I think these kids are going in wide-eyed. And I think Ben and Charlie and Tom and everyone are wide-eyed, but they're saying, I'm going to follow my, I think each one of them would tell you that they are following their inspiration and their communication with the Lord, and they're working with the Lord to figure out what's best for them. And yeah. That's what we want to talk about. Because raising a child today is very different than it was even 10 years ago.
I know. I when we were pre-talking about this, I was like, oh, Nick was in the second generation. Literally when he came out, they said, well, you could either marry a woman or you could stay celibate, right? Like I gave him all those options, right? I wasn't even in my mind to think, well, you could marry a man and still come to church, honestly. But I'm hoping now that that is an option for him.
Yeah. Well, and let's just consider, for those of you who don't have children, who are just listening to get information, consider looking at your child, 13, 14, or your grandchild, and they've told you that they are gay. And so now you have to say, you have to explain to them that they are not allowed to date and fall in love and get married and have a family. So what's the first thing the child's going to say to you?
Why? What's wrong with me?
Why? What's wrong with me is right. And that is where the last generation received so much damage.
Yeah.
Because the message was something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be fixed till the next life. And we know that that is just, that
or is. Or this is your challenge and you just have to learn to live with it.
Uh-huh, but why was I challenged this way? Why? Yeah. Why did the Lord hate me? Like, yeah. These are honest questions. And let's not forget, dating, falling in love, getting married, and raising a family those are righteous desires. Especially if they're done in the Lord's way. They are righteous desires.
They're righteous desires, and they are the crown jewel of our like righteous desire, right? Like celestial marriage. And I love, and you're talking together, the first thing you said, I mean, the Lord knew how detrimental it was to be alone and lonely, and he called men, you know, it is not good for men to be alone, right? So the Lord knows how damaging loneliness is.
Yes. And how damaging. So as Jenny and I have talked about this, we end up having to negotiate. And it's not unlike Eve in the garden. Like she had to negotiate like this heavenly kind of dwelling
mm-hmm.
and raising a family. And I believe that she did it with the Lord, hand in hand, right?
I completely agree. And so I can only go from my personal experience because Nick came out at 15, right? And so we had dating in high school, and that's exactly how I felt, where I went to the Lord of like, everybody's telling me they can't do this, but what that doesn't quite feel right for him and what he needs, how should I proceed, right? And that's how we created our family roadmap with guiding Nick through dating. And I honestly don't think we did it well. I didn't have a lot. There was conversations I should have had that I've had with my heterosexual children that I did not have with him. So I'm not saying I did it properly, but there was some things we did well.
Yeah. Well, right? And we'll get into that. We're going to talk about our children dating, and we'll do that on a different podcast. But that's a really important thing, because if we leave this for them to negotiate on their own, how do they negotiate with God? Will they be able to maintain that relationship? And will they make good choices, or will they feel like they have to go underground into the dark shadows, which nobody wants their kids in the shadows, and especially in this situation? So
can we talk more though? What does that look like for your child negotiating with the Lord?
So here's this, you know, I was in the temple this morning for my shift, and I was just considering this, and I thought, what is our responsibility as parents? And our number one responsibility is really to teach our children the commandments, to love them, and to teach them the commandments, which I think are one and the same.
Yeah.
The very first commandment of the two greatest commandments is to love God. So right now at 13 or 10 or 28, whenever your child comes out to you, that relationship with not only with you, but with God is on the line. Mm-hmm. And if they come away thinking God doesn't love me the way I am, and there is nothing I can do about the way I am, then they're going to lose God.
They're going to leave that relationship with God, right?
They're going to have to, because,
yes,
because God finds them unacceptable.
Yes.
I mean, that's not a message that we can send to anyone. That's just, we have no business there. So we can say, so this is where our negotiations is. Like, how do we, as the parents of this child, knowing their ups and downs, their ins, their outs, their personality, their current connection with God, how do we work with them to keep so that they love God, know that they're a child of God, and are able to be healthy with the fact that they're gay? And that's the negotiation, right?
Right. Because there's not a handbook to help you with
it. Not a handbook. And there's no, it's not a formula.
Yeah.
You can't say.
And there's not one size fits all.
Right.
Like how I did it with Nick's different, how you did it with Jake.
Right. And you and I have seen our share of very damaged hearts, souls.
Yes.
Because
all coming back because of this. This is the reason they feel damaged.
Because they are told that they are not right with God.
Yes.
That they are damaged goods, that they'll be better in the next life, that you know, or that they were just meant to suffer. I mean, who wants to come to earth to suffer? Do you think that was the thing, like up in heaven, the Lord was like, okay, you're going down to suffer. And I'll see you after. No, we came down to grow.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. How do we set our children up to grow in Christ, grow in love for God, and grow in themselves? So this is where we are. And this is the negotiation. And it is 100% the only way through is with God.
No, and the best thing you could do, I feel like, as a parent, because this is their negotiation, right? This is like their agency, their negotiation,
agency, sure.
Right? Is what is the best way to support them in this? What is the best way to give them structure? And because you're like the background support. So what kind of messages, what kind of conversations are you having? Because one of the things we did poorly is we didn't have enough conversations about this. We didn't talk about, what does this look like for you? Like, what, like, is this possibility? Like, if you want to keep dating and bring your boyfriend to church, are you comfortable with that? What are you worried about? What do you think it's, you know, we didn't have those hard, and we sometimes didn't talk about, like I said, the safety, but we're going that another podcast, but like just those conversations, think about all the conversations that you would have with your child heterosexual in this area. Are you having as many conversations with your child if they're gay?
And I would say that most people don't.
I agree.
Because they, and this is a perfectly legitimate reason, but they feel like they cannot support their child if they are going to, you know, date. And not everybody feels like that, right? Because in this third generation, there's also third generation parenting, where they're like, I want you to be safe. I want you to be loved. You need to find someone who loves you, and, you know, and on and on. But there are second generation parents who have third generation kids, right?
Right, right.
Believe the second, like, and I think those parents really struggle to address these things with their children. And the problem is, if you don't, how are they going to know? How will they grow in Christ if you can't even talk about it with them?
Right. Like, because ultimately, all parents want the same thing. We want them, if they're in an intimate relationship with mm-hmm. another human being, we want Christ part of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't even talk about what that looks like, or that's a possibility for our gay children, they won't think, they're throw out all the rules, right? They're like, well, it's either sanctioned for Christ or it's not.
It's yeah. Like, he either cares about me and loves me and or he doesn't. Like,
yeah.
And you have to negotiate, like, that is your child. You understand that part of your child, how their relationship with God is. But the very most tragic thing, I think, is if we, through this process, they lose connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose connection with your family. I mean, those two things are tragic.
That's what's happened in the past. That's been the model in the past. And so we're talking about
in the first generation. In fact, we kicked them out of.
But right. in the second generation,
who couldn't manage to marry someone of the opposite sex or stay celibate, their only choice was to leave. And I have to say, there is good fruit in staying.
Yeah, or we wouldn't be talking about this.
No. And what do we want for our kids? We want them to be healthy. We want them to be happy, and we want them to know that they're children of God and he loves them, and we want them to love him and listen and to hear him. So this is hard stuff. This is hard stuff.
I always have a new appreciation for our gospel when I coach people who are not in our gospel, right? And I have a new client who they go to another church, another Christian church, and they're just exactly the same pain points though. Their child is coming out and they're like, we want him to not think that Christ doesn't love him, that he's damaged, that we just don't want him to be damaged going to church. And we don't want him, and we want him to be healthy. And we're worried he's received messages that he is not good enough. And they're like, we love our church. We love the preacher. We love the youth pastor. We love them. But we also like, they also are teaching things that, you know, being gay is a sin. And so I asked them, I said, well, does your church believe in like ongoing revelation, or that you can go to God with this, or you can like, you have a mantle as the parents to help guide them? She's like, no, it's the Bible or nothing. Right. I have such great appreciation for our Article 9. And actually I have to give this shout out to one of my clients and she's amazing. She's actually was Catholic her whole life and just joined the church 10 years ago. And she goes, she said something that I love. She goes, your church is inconveniently true. She goes, I did not want to join, but it was inconveniently true. And she has a gay son. And she goes, what keeps me here is 1, 2, and 9. I'm like, 1, 2, and 9. And she's like, oh, it's so easy. She goes, one, you know, the first and second commandment, we love God and when we love each other. And 9 is the 9th article of faith. We believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal. And we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And that, I don't think LDS people realize how much hope that gives us in everything that we're struggling with, right? That God is a living creature. He's talking to us. If we haven't got it right yet, it's not the end of what we're figuring this out. And
for sure. And this isn't the only place where I have questions about this celestial life and marriage and the eternities, and how does divorce fit into that? And I have a long list. This is on the top, but it's not the only thing.
Honestly, if you don't have a long list, you're not being active in your faith and your relationship with God.
Because we don't know.
Yeah. And there's just so much we don't know.
We do believe in revelation to apostles and to prophets, and we believe that. And it's okay to hope for change, because we are in a bad situation here.
Yeah, because none of us want our children to leave, and they're leaving.
Yeah, they're all leaving. Yeah. And they're all leaving. And the very few that are staying are really struggling to keep the sense of who they are and their divinity with them. So yes, we want change. We want clarity. We want clarity, and we want change, and something that says, yes, your family too. Your family matters too. And your family
right.
is is just as eligible as all families.
Yes.
Which I believe. And I should say, for full disclosure, my son is dating as well. From the very beginning, felt inspired to teach him that the same rules applied. We've talked about that a little bit, but not enough. The same rules apply that applied to him when we thought he was a heterosexual kid. But now those same rules apply for him as a gay kid.
Yeah, those rules are amazing rules. They really are like
a really good guiding
framework to create beautiful relationships, right? Like I have one and you have one because of those rules. And yeah. So I'm really grateful for those commandments that God gave me. And I wish I had, we're doing this podcast kind of because we want you to look at this more clearly, to see it more clearly, be able to talk about the elephant in the room, pull back and
not do what we do, but go to the Lord and find out what your answer is.
Yeah. And so get that spiritual authority from the Lord for your child.
Totally. And I want to just point out, oftentimes I'm talking to people and they'll say, well, what about the family proclamation? And that is a good question. What about the family proclamation? Let's not forget that the answer to that question is baked right into the family proclamation. And it's at the end of the seventh paragraph, the long paragraph. And it says, disability, death, or other circumstances may necessitate individual adaptation. And then it says, extended families should lend support when needed. This is important because the Lord's saying, you might have to adapt for your family. And I believe that we did. And that's where you go. That's where you take like all your questions to the Lord and say, okay, you know this child. What's best for this child? Help me guide and help me keep them connected to you so that they will grow up and be able to know what they need to do. Because at some point they're going to stop listening to us and it's like 14 or 15.
Right. Or right. Because Allison, the main reason that I've seen our LGBTQ saints leave, one, they didn't feel like there was a place that they could be authentically themselves. And two, they did receive a message, and not like anybody outwardly says it, but they receive a message from policies that God doesn't accept them for who they are, right? That they are not good enough. And that is the message that you have to, and that's what I said to this family whose child, I'm like, you have to have those conversations. Like, what do you think Christ feels about you? What do you imagine for your future? How do you want to navigate this? Right. You have to kind of ask them and get them in that state of mind and be like, this is yours to navigate. And this is ours. Our role is to help you and support you. And also like, how do we bring Christ in your decisions? Because all of the commandments and all these things are for us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, for us to know him better. Right. Commandment one, for us to love God.
Like our heavenly parents.
Yes. Yep. And marriage is the reason we get married, is to learn how to be heavenly parents, right? To learn going through these things.
Yeah. And to guide our kids is part of it. And for them to decide what that means for them is part of it.
Yes.
And the best outcome is if they walk hand in hand with the Lord through this. That is the very best outcome that they, and hopefully with us too. But the very best outcome is if they are hearing the voice of the Spirit guide them through this really tricky situation. The trickiest, right?
Of all the
things that we have to deal with.
Right, right. I think that's why it took us three times. And hopefully we are pleased with this one and you're listening to it.
I know. And I hope that you all understand, like, we're not telling you what to do, but we're telling you, you have to do this. You have to do this work, and it's hard work.
Yes. You have to have these uncomfortable conversations. You have to be praying about this. You have to be talking about this. And you have to be very careful of the words you use, the phrases you use, especially if your child comes out very young, how you are talking to them about their future.
Yeah. And the best part of this is as you work with the Lord, you become so close. So almost without fail, the parents have said to me, this has brought me closer to the Lord than anything could have ever.
Yes. I honestly, after I work with parents for a number of months, granted in the beginning, that is not what they're saying, but after months and years of that negotiation and that working out with the Lord, I have not had a parent who wasn't closer to the Lord.
Totally. Me neither. I have not heard it. Or an LGBTQ individual who really does this. They get closer. This is the hard work. This is the exercise.
Yeah.
This is the building the muscles of connecting with the Lord. And we know that this is part of the restored gospel, is that we get to talk directly to the Lord. We get to hear him. We get to take our questions. And this is amazing. This strengthens us. It doesn't weaken our family. It strengthens our family. It strengthens our spirit. And hopefully it strengthens our LGBTQ children.
And if we do this right, it's going to strengthen our church.
Absolutely. And the families in the church who have LGBTQ individuals in them.
Amen.
Amen. I know. So we love you. Good luck.
Love you. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about this. We know this is a tricky conversation.
The podcast, or share them, you know, on the podcast information. And by the way, it would be great if you shared your feelings about the podcast there, and just let us know if you have questions or if this resonates. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you for joining us. If you like what we share, subscribe to the Lift and Love podcast. And if you have a minute, leave us a 5-star rating so other families like yours can find us. When your child comes out, you need to find support where you feel safe and understood. This is why we created the Lift and Love Coaching Community, a place where parents can connect, learn, and grow in a private setting.
Jenny is a certified, advanced trained, faith-based life coach with almost 10,000 hours of coaching. Together, we have worked with hundreds of families just like yours. To see if the Lift and Love community is right for you, go to liftandlove.org and click on the community link. For more free information, support groups, and available resources, check out liftandlove.org and liftandlove.org on Instagram and Facebook. But most importantly, remember, you are not alone in this journey. We are building a community of thriving and faithful LGBTQ families who are here to lift and love you.